Some of you are holding on to stories that are not even true about you, that were given to you secondhand. About who you are, Gideon. You know, I am the least in my tribe. This is an Old Testament story that illustrates it. I am the smallest. My tribe is the smallest. I'm the smallest in the tribe. And I want to ask you what God asked Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Who told you that? Who told you that story? Sometimes it's even well-meaning people. I mean, these were not pagans. These were observant Jewish Christians who just wanted to get it right. But what happened in their day happens in ours, where, you know, when God originally blessed his people, he wanted them to take it beyond just these borders. But over time, you know, tradition gets in the way of truth. So then you start thinking that your tradition is the truth. And if you've ever had a family member say something to you like, oh, well, you're getting kind of big for your britches. Is that just a monk's corner thing? You know, you make a move forward. Oh, well, you're getting too big for your britches. It's a way of trying to keep you stuck in a tradition of what our family has accomplished and what we do. And so it's so subconscious for most of us. It's a story that runs in the background and we never even know it, but it is a story that someone else told themselves. And then they passed it on to us and we took it as our own. And we stay stuck in a story for 80 years of our life that we could have broken out of if we would have believed the voice of God. I hear my preaching mentor saying, slow down, Furtick. So let me do that for a moment. What stories are you holding on to that are old? That are keeping you from what's new? And what's now, and what's true, and what's real. Secondhand stories. It's a dangerous thing. If you ever played the game where you pass a thing down the row, I could start and say, milk is on sale. And by the time it gets to Christie, by the time it passes all the way down this row, you know it would turn into, you know, Donald Trump is the pastor of Elevation Church. By the time it got down that row. And it's never been worse than it is right now in our world, that we don't read the whole story, just the headlines. So then it becomes, oh, well, you're not this, and you're only that, and you can't this, and all white people, and all black people, and all men, and all women, and this community, and that community. And it is a generic way of keeping us from peeling back the labels, because labels always limit, and when you label yourself, you limit yourself. So all that to say, there might be a few holes in your story, some things that you have told yourself that aren't necessarily. He said, it was very entertaining, but it wasn't very accurate. And sometimes you tell yourself a story to survive, just to make it. And what's sad to me about it is somebody might have rejected you at one point in your life because of how they felt about themselves. And then you took it as an indication of your value. Oh, well, they walked out of my life. There must have been something wrong with me. Wow. That's their story, not yours. Wow. That's their story, not yours. That's their story, not yours. And you don't have to own it. And I love Peter because he is so reckless. And so the reckless reverend comes in, but he's got himself under control, and he just told them the whole story. Don't you want God to show you the whole story of your life? And when he starts the story, he starts with everybody's favorite main character in the story. Look at verse 5. You ready for this? This is how every story starts. Watch this. I. Number 2, beware of self-centered stories. Oh, man, when you put yourself at the center of every story, you're going to be stressed out. There's not enough Pepto-Bismol in the world for you to keep your stomach calm if you put yourself at the center of every story. And this is for all of us who are easily offended, all right? Did you see how they looked at me? They don't like me. They like you fine. They're sleepy. They don't like their husband. It's not you. Oh, look at somebody and set them free. Say, it's not you. It's not you. They weren't mad at Peter. They were stuck in a structure and a system and a way of thought. When I make myself the center of the story, I take on unnecessary stress. Sometimes when I'm preaching, I think I'm not doing good if everybody's not, you know, saying amen or something like that. But what if you were up till 3:30 in the morning and you didn't get your sleep? How am I going to take that as a reflection of my preaching? I don't think so. The devil is a liar. This is good preaching, no matter whether you nod at it or not. And you know what? I need to get better about that in my life because I really struggle thinking that every story starts with me. How they treated me. And so I say, like, you know, that God has a reason for everything. And what I mean by that is, okay, this is my dirty little secret. What I mean is, God has a reason for this that I am going to like, agree with, and understand. And that's just not the way it is. How many know that's just not the way it is? A self-centered story in parenting. When I make it about myself, remember, these are circumcised believers. That is an external sign of a covenant. It's something that you can see. You wouldn't necessarily always see it, but you could see it. I'm gonna leave that right there in case your kid didn't go to the kids ministry today, and you can do that Bible study at home. But you couldn't necessarily see it, but you could see it. And here's the temptation. When we try to go off of what we can see and tell ourselves a story, and then we start filling in the space. Remember, Peter is 70 miles away from Jerusalem, and they start telling the story. Space creates stories. Physical space creates stories. Sometimes you don't need to text certain things. You need to pick up the phone and call. Sometimes text doesn't get the tone across, and you're going to spend 6 months fixing a relational mess because you used your thumbs rather than your feet to walk over and have a real conversation. And so when you have space, you create a story. Even the space of time creates stories. You know, a lot of time goes by and you're like, you start remembering things differently, don't you? It's hard for me right now raising kids to remember what it's like to be a kid. So if one of my kids acts up, my immediate thing is to make it about me. They are disrespecting me. I am the man of God. And one day the Lord really, this was like, have you ever had one of those God bombs just go off inside of you where you just knew that what you were thinking was wrong? I was thinking about one of my kids. They are so selfish. They were making certain decisions. I thought, this is so selfish. The Lord said, they're not selfish. They're scared. Think about what it's like when you start getting flooded with all of those hormones. Think about what it's like when the rules change on you all of a sudden. And y'all don't have big kids yet. But you will remember certain times in your life where you were acting selfish. The reason you were acting selfish is because you were scared. And when you get scared, you start acting selfish because you are in protection mode. So what am I doing? I'm going from they're so selfish, and God is showing me that the whole story. See, there's a hole in your story. There's a whole story. And then there's a hole in your story. And sometimes we tell ourselves stories about others without realizing that they are going through things too. Y'all don't want to say amen to this because it means we have to have compassion on people, kind of like God has compassion on us. Kind of like we want God to forgive us. Kind of like we want God to excuse our gaps, we're going to have to sometimes say, God, help me to stop making it about me. God, forgive me for making this about me. I feel the Holy Ghost and fire in my bones right now. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than you. How could Peter have known that what he was being criticized for in this moment
would lead to the gospel penetrating the Roman Empire. You have no idea what God is doing through this conflict, this season in your life. There is a bigger story being told, and there is a hole in your story.
Hey, thank you for watching. Make sure you subscribe to this channel so you don't miss a single video or live stream. And share this video with a friend. And don't forget, you can join me live every Sunday. Thanks again for watching.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.